This is Disability Beat, a public affairs program for and about people with disabilities. It's about social justice, community supports, inclusion, accessibility, freedom, and choice. My name is Vicki Nicewander, and I'm the host of this program and also the parent of a fantastic young woman with a disability.
The views and opinions expressed here are those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent those of WEFT, its board of directors, associate station manager, or Prairie Air Incorporated.
Stay tuned for an interview with Daniel Smirkowski, podcaster. His podcast, Special Chronicles, is produced weekly as a voice for people with disabilities. But first, disability news for the week of September 8th, 2025. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services is preparing a report on rising autism rates that may highlight prenatal Tylenol, acetaminophen use, and low folate levels as possible factors, according to the Wall Street Journal. The report, led by the National Institutes of Health, is expected to review existing research, noting both potential causes and current knowledge gaps. Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. recently said announcements on autism were coming soon, though many researchers remain skeptical of his claims. Kennedy has long promoted a discredited vaccine link, though it is unclear if vaccines will appear in the HHS review. Research findings are mixed. A 2024 analysis of 46 studies suggested an association between prenatal acetaminophen exposure and autism, but experts stress this does not prove causation. Some sibling-based studies found no link, and professional groups caution against oversimplifying autism's causes, which likely stem from complex genetic and environmental factors. Medical organizations, including the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, emphasize that acetaminophen remains one of the few safe pain relief options during pregnancy when used appropriately. Tylenol's maker Kenvu and the FDA maintain there is no proven causal link. For decades, most cerebral palsy resources have focused on children. A new toolkit, however, aims to shift that focus to adults. The 172-page Adult CP Toolkit is being billed as the first comprehensive guide for adults with cerebral palsy. It covers topics ranging from housing, caregiving and self-advocacy to mental health, intimacy, nutrition, sleep, and managing functional decline. Developed over 3 years by the Cerebral Palsy Research Network, the guide reflects input from hospitals and community members. The nonprofit, founded after a 2014 National Institutes of Health meeting, works to improve outcomes for people with cerebral palsy. With more than 800,000 adults with CP in the U.S., the toolkit is designed for individuals, caregivers, and healthcare providers. According to Michelle Schusterman, co-founder of the network and project manager for the toolkit, quote, "As the parent of a young adult with CP, I have spent years searching for the best care and support for my daughter. Now, as my daughter begins adulthood, I am grateful for the wisdom and practical insight this resource provides to empower her generation and those who follow," end quote. The toolkit is available as a free download with printed copies also for sale. And finally, the Trump administration is proposing to end federal collection of data on significant disproportionality in special education, a move advocates warn would reduce equity and accountability. Under the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, states must identify districts where students of color are disproportionately identified with disabilities, placed in restrictive settings, or disciplined at higher rates. The Education Department has traditionally gathered and published this data each year, but now says ending the practice will, quote, reduce the burden, end quote, on states. Advocates argue the change would make it harder to track national trends. According to Robin Linscott of the ARC, students of color face higher rates of segregation and discipline and said, quote, districts can't fix what they can't see, end quote. Denise Marshall of COPAY added, quote, if the feds aren't doing that, who will? End quote. Public comment on the proposal is open through October 21st. And that's the news for this week.
You can count on me like 1, 2, 3, I'll be there. And I know when I need it, I can count on you like 4, 3, 2, and you'll be there. Cause that's what friends are supposed to do, oh yeah.
Ooh. You are tuned to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. I am Vicki Nicewander, and I am joined today by Daniel Smirkowski. Am I saying that right, Daniel? I don't think I have it right.
Yes. Okay. That's right. Smirkowski.
Okay, very good. And you are a podcaster. So tell us about yourself. Who are you?
Thank you, Vicki, for having me on this evening. I was born 36 years ago. I was born 3 1/3 months premature, and was diagnosed with developmental delays and learning disabilities and a severe language disorder. So I've from my very early days have had a lot of occupational therapies and speech therapies and have been in special ed classes through all my years of school. And then fast forward to graduating high school, we encouraged my case manager and my special ed teachers to have me go to college. And in 4.5 years, I went to Roosevelt University in Chicago, mm-hmm. and was able to graduate with a bachelor's degree in journalism, mm-hmm. which for many of us with developmental disabilities, it doesn't happen for that many of us, and even in that was in 2012, and so. It was after I graduated high school in May of 2008. Mm-hmm. That summer I learned about what podcast was, because at the time I think podcasts have only been around since like 2005 in July of 2008 I learned about what podcast was. And then in November 2008 is when I aired my first podcast, and it really was. I went through the athlete leadership program that Special Olympics has, mm-hmm. to train to be an athlete spokesperson, and so I started to record the audio of the speeches that I was I'm given. Mm-hmm. And of just sharing my story. And then I soon, within the first year of hearing 50 downloads in that first year, and heard from listeners from Canada, across the U.S., across the globe, that were empowered by my story. In fact, an airline pilot for a major airline had used the R word, the word retarded, on a different podcast. And then he started listening to my podcast, and his perspective on disability had then changed. And then he's since become a friend and a supporter. So that was that. And I've now by September 30th, which is International Podcast Day, I'll be airing. I just recorded it today, but I'll be airing my 8th 800th episode, and this November celebrating 17 years of podcasting.
I was going to say, it had to be close to 20 years that you've been doing this. Have you been?
Yes.
When you graduated, or when you went to college and got your degree in journalism, was that your plan all along, or did you just kind of happen upon that?
That was my plan all along. I was always interested in other people's stories. I guess my initial plan was I was always interested in either radio or TV or newspapers. Mm-hmm. But once I started podcasting as a hobby, that in college, and then I worked, our radio station on campus was an online station. And so once I was introduced to radio and podcasts, that kind of new form of journalism had piqued my interest.
Yeah, well, you are a literal podcast machine. You've made over 800 episodes in that amount of time. I'm very impressed by that.
Thank you. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna say I'm always amazed. I'm still amazed today that we still have listeners and we're still making an impact. 800 episodes, 17 years, nearly 20 years later.
So, what is the focus of your podcast? I know it's called. Let's see, it's called Special Chronicles. It's storytelling, right?
Yes. Yeah. So. Our mission is giving respect and voice to people with special needs, and it started as a weekly podcast and is now expanded into a podcast platform where my girlfriend who has Down syndrome, we co-host another podcast, and I've had some other friends that have started shows on our network, and it really is about, like we said, about storytelling. It's through the mission of giving respect and voice to people with special needs from my insider's perspective. The mission has been to really highlight inclusion, to raise awareness, and to share authentic stories that inspire and empower our community. Because it's really, the podcast, Special Chronicles, has really become an authentic storytelling platform that many, many stuff advocates and families in our disability community have come to Special Chronicles as a trusted and authentic source for these firsthand stories.
Right. Yeah. I was at the Speak Up and Speak Out Summit last week in Bloomington, Illinois, and you were there working. Fortunately, I was able to speak with your dad, who gave me your contact information and so forth. But you must have recorded multiple hours of interviews that week.
Yeah. I recorded, I think, about 14 episodes. Everyone from the keynote speaker, Zach Anno, who I was really excited to meet, but other stories, and I was really honored that the Elk of Illinois had us to produce live podcast coverage. It was on demand, and so the video episodes are already up on specialchronicles.com, but starting tomorrow, September 9th, and going through the end of the month, we're going to have daily episodes in our podcast feed from that conference, just because there was just so many powerful and empowering stories from that conference.
Yeah. You know, give me some. You talked to Zach Anner. Is it Zach Anner?
Yeah.
He was an amazing speaker.
He was, and I've got my notebook in front of me, and I took 5 pages of notes during his keynote. But he wrote a book about 10, 11 years ago, and I read his book, and then I've been following him online for the past 10, 11 years, and when he was writing on the show Speechless and on ABC, and a friend of mine on the East Coast told me about him. So his story and his Zach's message about how this is a time that we have to connect, and how Zach talked about how happiness fades, but joy echoes. And then, in addition to Zach, I talked with a 16-year-old in Oklahoma, Ava. I don't know if you had a chance to meet Ava.
I don't think so.
But Ava.
She was the high school. She was the high school student who was speaker.
Yeah. She was the high school student, and hearing from her about her experiences, and she connected to, there was a book and a movie on Disney Plus called Out of My Mind that she connected her story to. Ava and other self advocates at the Speak Up and Speak Out conference had all talked about, because one of the last questions I asked them was to describe the Speak Up and Speak Out Summit in one word. And whether it's Ava or Zach or any of the other advocates, a lot of them talked about how they described this self-advocacy conference as together, inspiring, excited, you're not alone, everyone loves you. They all kind of shared these messages on what self-advocacy means for them and why it's important for all of us in our disability community to speak up and speak out, and why it's needed now more than ever.
Oh, I'll say, that's for sure. And I was very impressed by a lot of the folks who were attending there, and I thought, wouldn't it be nice if everybody, all community members, came and saw how creative and smart and motivated these folks with disabilities are to change the world. Yeah. They're all doing it in their own small way, maybe. Some with bigger ways.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's to that point, that's why I wanted to have this live podcast coverage that's available to watch or listen on demand on specialchronicles.com is because I hope that my listeners can not just listen, but to share this live coverage with their friends and family, to let more let more people know to come to next year's Speak Up and Speak Out Summit.
Yeah, absolutely. It was an amazing thing, and I one thing that one of the attendees said to me during the dance on Tuesday night. He said, this is the only place I can come where I don't feel judged. Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to judge you when you're here. So that was, it in many ways, that's kind of sad.
Yeah.
But it's good to have those times, those moments.
Yeah. It is. And seeing, I wished I would have stayed for the dance, but I needed to in this podcast coverage, I needed to get some of the production work done and to bed early. So I hope in the future I'll get to stay for the dance talk. But
yeah, maybe next year.
Maybe next year. Yeah.
Yeah. So you do all the production yourself. You edit all the programs. What's the length of your podcast?
So I don't do a lot of editing anymore, just because I like to keep it authentic. Mm-hmm. And then I've got my dad, who you met, is the business manager, and then I've got a volunteer content producer that helps me with content, who lives in the Maryland, Washington, D.C. area. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the episodes, like from the Speak Up and Speak Out Summit, were anywhere from 5 to 20 minutes, up to 40 minutes. But a lot of the other episodes, it ranges. Some of them are 30 minutes. Some of them are an hour. For example, this week's episode with the executive director of the Elk of Illinois, her episode this week is an hour and a half.
Oh, yeah, Samantha can talk.
Yeah, I'm having an airline pilot on next week about this Wings for All event, and that episode was an hour. So they range in different lengths depending on the story, and because our goal is to keep it as authentic as possible. If somebody really didn't like something they say, then I'll edit that out. But I try not to do that much editing anymore, just to keep it as unplugged and authentic and realistic as possible.
Yeah, and being a podcast instead of a regular radio program, you're not locked into the 30-minute time slot like I am.
Yes.
So that makes a big difference. So So what are some of the stories that over the years you've been doing these 800 and some odd podcasts over the years, interviewing all these folks with disabilities? What are some of the most interesting or unusual stories that you've heard?
That's a really good question. A lot of the stories center around experiences at Special Olympics. Mm-hmm. And not just the sports side that people are aware of, but also it's the world's largest health organization for people with intellectual disabilities. So the health work and the inclusion work in schools around Special Olympics, but also other advocacy. I've had Tim Shrivel, who's the chairman of Special Olympics International.
Wow.
He has been on back in 2018. We recorded that in the hallway of a hotel because that was the only space we could find. Mm-hmm. His story about the history, because it's his mom who founded Special Olympics in 1968 in Chicago, and so that was a really powerful episode to hear that. But then also hearing other Special Olympics athletes from Great Britain or New Zealand or Australia or even just across the U.S. I had there's a married couple. They both have disabilities and they live in British Columbia in Canada. Mm-hmm. And her name is Crystal Williams, and her whole disability is, and she was on last week's episode. Mm-hmm. I think it was 2 weeks ago. Two weeks ago. And not a lot of people know about her disability. And so hearing from her was a witty, powerful story, and So and then even like just stories of there was a young woman with Down syndrome who wants to be a sports reporter, and so hearing that story. There was someone quite a few years ago I had on in New Zealand who has Williams syndrome, mm-hmm. who is a model and does fitness work and modeling and I think she sings too So hearing those types of stories that I try not to have it be the inspiration poem because we don't really want that in our disability community. So
yep, we get enough of that.
Yeah, we have enough of that. So hearing these stories to really empower not just those of us in our disability community, but also to show the mainstream community just how all these stories are powerful, and that people can be empowered and be inspired in the right way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what a great resource you are.
Thank you.
For people.
Thank you.
I think this is really incredible. I really am so glad that you are out there and doing this, and I am a new listener. So appreciate that. And I would love to talk to you about maybe if, you know, we could borrow some of your content to share on this radio program at some point as well.
Yeah. Happy to talk to you off air. I when I was in college, I aired some of my podcast content on a college radio station, but it's been quite a few years since my program has aired on radio.
Yeah, that's very exciting, Daniel. I'm just so thrilled that you're out there and doing this. There needs to be a lot more, and it's wonderful. But before we run out of time, I need to have you tell folks where they can find your podcast.
Yeah. So the best place is on specialchronicles.com. That's specialchronicles.com, or you can search Special Chronicles wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, iHeartRadio.
All those different places. So you are available, and you say you drop podcasts about once a week, or is it more often than that?
This Special Chronicles podcast is weekly. Every Monday is when we air episodes on specialchronicles.com.
Okay, very good. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. It's been a real pleasure talking with you. And as I said, I'll be listening and hopefully we'll be able to connect again in several different ways. So I appreciate you and thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, Vicki, so much for having me on.
No problem. Daniel Smirkowski, podcaster of Special Chronicles. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
This and other episodes of Disability Beat are available at weft.org/public affairs. For updates and information, join our Facebook page at Disability Beat Radio. To share ideas for guests or topics, email Vicki at disabilitybeat@gmail.com. Thanks for tuning in and have a great rest of your week.
Down, gonna stand my ground, and I won't back down.
This hour of programming is brought to you by the listeners of WEFT and Make It Champaign Urbana. Mega Champaign-Urbana provides programs to assist new residents in getting connected to the community through the Champaign Welcome Crew. Are you passionate about the community? As an ambassador, you can help make a difference to new residents by answering their questions and sharing your community experiences. Ready to join over 50 ambassadors making a difference? For more information, visit makeitcu.com.
You are tuned to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. Coming up next is Food Sleuth Radio. Stay tuned for that and other great programs here